Amen, Brother Gary. God bless you. Aren't you glad the grace of God abounds, right? Praise the Lord for that. And take your Bible, turn to the book of Jonah with me again. The book of Jonah. We'll begin our reading in chapter 1, verse 17. Jonah chapter 1, beginning with verse number 17. A big congratulations to Bob and Miss Lindsay Mann. And Bob's not, he's with the teenagers. Miss Lindsay's father's here. God bless him. He's not proud at all, I'm sure, but Carter Wesley was born the night of November the 2nd, 10 pounds, 4 ounces. If you want to know what he looks like, just take a good look at Bob. He's Bob's twin. I'm telling the truth, and you know I am, don't you? I mean, his head's even shaped like Brother Bob's. He's got that blank stare about him, too. You know what I'm saying? You tell Bob I said that, will you? Yes. How many of y'all are going to tell Bob I said that? Would you raise your hand? Yes. Don't get me tickled now, okay. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Here's a shocker. I'm only going to get started with this message this morning. We'll try to conclude it tonight, God willing. Good Sunday morning crowd. Thank you. Thank you for being here. God bless you. I want you to pray for a gentleman that we had the privilege of visiting with yesterday. He's not a Christian. And he's not saved. We've met him on teen visitation. And he's a Vietnam veteran, and he believes that he knows he's lost. He kept telling me that God hates him and God wants him to burn in hell because of the things that he's done. I want you to pray for him. God knows who it is, that the Lord will get a hold of this man. I told him, I said, God's looking for people just like you. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, this particular man was saying some things yesterday that wasn't good. But the Lord knows who He is. And God sent us by His door at the time, let me just say this, at the time He needed us most. And He needs Jesus. I hope you'll pray for Him. I hope you'll do that. By the way, it's only by God's grace that's not you. And thank the Lord that He snatched the blindfold off of us. But this man is blinded and he needs the Lord. I want you to pray for him, okay? Amen. I'm burdened for him. I think you can sense that. By the way, this man is struggling with things that he did to help keep you free in Vietnam. And we need to thank God for our military and pray for them. Ask God to be with them and help them. And what we're doing, he fought for our freedom. Now we're fighting for his. Trying to share with him about how Jesus died to set him free. He just needs to trust that. I hope you'll pray for him, okay? Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now if you mark your Bible, I want you to mark the opening phrase in chapter 2. It's the three words, then Jonah prayed. Then Jonah prayed. Let's pray together, and I'm going to start this thought this morning, and God willing, conclude it tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for this sweet service. Thank you in my own heart how I felt your presence here. And I pray that if there's anything hindering your presence from being here now, that you'll forgive us, remove it, get it out of the way. Speak to us from your word. Help us to be faithful to just open and proclaim what you've already said. Help us not to add to it, take away from it, but be faithful to you and your word, I pray. Bless us now. Deal with us thoroughly. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in the opening chapter of this book, we considered Jonah, the son of Amittai. And in that message, we saw how God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. If you remember, Nineveh was a wicked and a cruel people, and God called Jonah to go preach against it. However, Jonah made the choice to say no to the call of God on his life. He arose and went in the opposite direction by getting on a boat heading to Tarshish. Now, he paid the price to board the ship. Then the Lord sent a great wind that put the mariners and all on board in danger. These boatmen were afraid and called upon their false gods while Jonah had fallen asleep on board the ship. The shipmaster came and woke him up, calling on him to pray to his God, which is the true and living God. They cast lots that fell on Jonah, and he began to tell them that his God is the maker of the sea and dry land. When they heard this, they wanted to know why Jonah had run from God. Then they asked Jonah what to do in order for the sea to be calm again. Jonah had come to the end of his plans and told them to throw him overboard. Now, these mariners tried not to do that, but they could not bring the ship to land. So they cried to the Lord and asked him not to let them perish for Jonah's life. Then the mariners picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea. That's where we pick up our story today. Now, what would happen to Jonah? Now, we see in this 17th verse of chapter 1 how the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now, can you imagine the surprise when Jonah found himself inside the belly of a great fish, alive and doing okay? Now, keep in mind that Jonah had no idea about the great fish. The Lord had already prepared it, but Jonah didn't know that. Jonah had come to the end of his plans. And as far as Jonah is concerned, this was it. He was going to die. The Word of God tells us elsewhere in Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 and 40, Jesus identified this great fish as a whale. And the Word of God tells us that Jonah was in that fish's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. Now, somebody might be asking, I hope not in this crowd, but I know around the world, they'll say, is that really possible? I mean, do you really believe that this took place? Let my immediate answer, without pausing to pray about it, say, it sure did take place. And the reason we know that is because God said it did, and Jesus confirmed it in the New Testament. By the way, there's a Sunday school girl that was ridiculed by the town skeptic regarding her faith in Christ and belief in the Bible. He asked this little Sunday school girl and said, now, do you really believe the fish story of Jonah? And she said, yes, sir, I do. The skeptic said, well, how can you explain this miracle? She said, I can't, but I'll tell you what I will do. I'll ask Jonah when I get to heaven. The skeptic said, what if he's not there? She sweetly said, then you ask him. Major thought right there, friends. Friends, we as Christians do not go by what scientists say is possible. We don't go by what other men say is true or what possible, but we go by what the Word of God clearly says. Therefore, since the Word of God tells us that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish, that's exactly what Jonah was swallowed by. However, let me say here that J. Vernon McGee said this, and I quote, the fish here is not the hero of the story, neither is it its villain. The book is not even about a fish. The fish is among the props and does not occupy the star's dressing room. Let us distinguish between the essentials and the incidentals. Incidentals are the fish, the gourd, the east wind, the boat, Nineveh. The essentials are Jehovah and Jonah, God and man. Jonah was running from the Lord and his will at this time in his life. And the Lord would have been righteous. Now get this, folks. He would have been righteous in allowing Jonah to drown at this time and just use somebody else. But instead, he had prepared a great fish to preserve Jonah's life. It's been said the God who would be merciful to Nineveh was willing to be a God of mercy to Jonah. When we get to chapter 2, we see that all of this, with the exception of the last verse, is Jonah praying to God. The phrase that grabbed my attention and that I want to focus on today is the opening phrase, then Jonah prayed. Now, there's been debate as to whether then literally meant before or after the 3 days in the belly of the whale. In other words, some people try to say that then was after he had been swallowed and he had already been in the belly 3 days and three nights. While others just say, it wasn't after the 3 days and three nights. Can I say this to you like I've already said? If there's debate about something that doesn't really make any difference, there's another major thought there, friends. And can I say this to you? We don't know if it was after the 3 days or before the 3 days, but we do know this. It was not until he was swallowed. That's the major thought. It wasn't until he found himself in the body of the whale that he began to pray. In other words, there's no record of Jonah turning to God in prayer on the boat. By the way, there was a great storm that hit when he was on the boat, but there's no record of Jonah ever praying during that storm. There's no record of him praying while he was being thrown overboard. Can you see him picking him up? Can't you just sense the horror inside of his heart? The Bible's silent. It does not say he ever prayed right there. The Bible is silent. It does not tell us that he prayed while he was in the water before the fish swallowed him. Now, nobody knows how long he was in the water. But there's no record while he was on the boat during the storm when they picked him up, threw him overboard, and while he was flashing in the water, there's no record of Jonah ever praying. But the Word of God said that when the fish swallowed him, then Jonah prayed. And that verse goes on to say, unto the Lord his God, out of the fish's belly. We know he's inside the fish when he's praying here. My friends, the Lord has been gracious to this man. Would you agree with that, yes or no? Sure he has. He has sent a great wind, but Jonah fell asleep during it. It took the men throwing Jonah overboard and a great fish swallowing him up before he ever turned to God in prayer. Now, friends, the Lord has gotten Jonah's attention, is what I'm trying to say. What will it take to get ours? Could it be that something's going on in your life that God's trying to wake you up? He's trying to tell you you're going the wrong direction. You need to come to me in prayer. The Lord allowed Jonah to be swallowed by this great fish to bring Jonah. By the way, why did God allow this fish to swallow him? He allowed it to swallow him. Yes, it was chastisement, but what was he doing with Jonah? He allowed this fish to swallow Jonah to bring Jonah to a greater place of obedience. Let me make this statement to you. God never sends things in your life to punish you without an end to it, without a purpose to it. The reason God punishes his children, chastises his children, by the way, the book of Hebrews tells us, if you're without chastisement, you are not God's. The reason he's chastising Jonah here is not to say, well, I'll show him. No, God still wanted to use Jonah. And he was bringing Jonah to the point where Jonah would no longer say no, he would now say yes. God always has a purpose to his chastisement. Now, this being the case, I wonder what is it that God may be using in your life to bring you to a greater place of obedience. See, it wasn't until Jonah was swallowed by the great fish that he turned to God in prayer. Then Jonah prayed. And I want to ask you a question. When is your then? When will be your then? You know, there are people, I trust it's not you, but there are people today who are outside of the will of God. There's something in their life that they know is not right. They know that God never told them to do it, or they know God said do it and they've not done it yet. May I tell you that if you're living in disobedience to God, that God will send things in your life to get you to a place of obedience to Him. He sent the storm, but Jonah didn't listen during the storm. He sent the mariners picking him up and throwing him over sea, but Jonah didn't listen at that time. It wasn't until he was swallowed whole by the whale that God got his attention. Can I say this to you here? Don't wait until a whale swallows you, friends. Give God your attention now, because you're not going to like the consequences of going through something outside of the will of God. Now, this being the case, it is Jonah's prayer in chapter 2 that I want us to consider in this message. Now, as we put this prayer under a spiritual microscope, we can all get some wonderful instructions as to how we should pray. Before we get to the particulars of this prayer from inside the whale's belly, let me just give you a great thought that casual reading through this, you might miss it. But notice the language in verse number 1. I'm getting ready to get to my outline. Just stay with me here. Notice in verse number 1, notice the language. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. What's the next word? He is God. Now before I ever get to the outline of the prayer, understand here that even though Jonah is outside of God's will, even though Jonah is saying no to God, even though Jonah has snubbed his nose in God's face, God never forsook him. He is still Jonah's God at this time. And I'm telling you that no matter what you may be going through, if you have truly been saved, God will send chastisement. He may send a strong wind. He may send a whale, but he will never forsake his children. Once he's your God for eternity. And this being the case, I want to give you several thoughts about then Jonah prayed. Number one, then Jonah prayed, first of all, with reason. With reason. Now notice the language in verse number 2. Jonah said, and said, I cried by reason. Look at that. By reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. In other words, when I say here that then Jonah prayed with reason, I'm saying that he had a reason why he was praying. And the reason of this is summarized into this one word, the word affliction. You know what this word affliction means? It means tightness. It means being in a tight place. It means being in adversity or anguish or trouble. He goes on in his prayer to show what his affliction was at this time and how he was in distress. In verse number 2, he said he was in the belly of hell. In verse number 3, he said the floods have compassed me him and billows and waves were passing over him. In verse number 4, he says he felt that he was cast out of God's sight. In verse number 5, waters were compassing him. The depth closed him round about and weeds were wrapped about his head. In verse number 6, he went down to the bottom of the mountains and the earth and her bars were about him. In other words, he's saying in that verse, I'm in prison. I can't get out of here. I mean, I'm going down, down, down to the bottom of the mountains. Verse number 7, he said his soul fainted within him. Now, in all of this, we see how Jonah has come to the end of himself. He is in a tight place. He is in trouble. He thought this could be the end of it all. He had seemingly lost all hope. This is the reason Jonah prayed. He prayed when he found himself hopeless. He prayed when he found himself backed into a corner and in a place where he could not get out of himself. Now let me ask you a question. Matter of fact, let me make this statement and then let me just go on. He had lost all heart for prayer on board the ship. But this affliction inside the well drew this man to prayer. And I want to say this to you. The Lord sends affliction to those who are running from him. Therefore, if you are running from the will of God and the Lord sends affliction, follow Jonah's example. Turn to God in prayer. Jonah is beginning to understand what he needs to do here. He's inside the well. You think he's going to get out by himself? Now, somebody said that what an upset stomach that fish must have had to have a rebellious preacher sitting on his stomach for 3 days and 3 nights. But what am I saying to you? I'm saying that Jonah now found himself in a place that God prepared for him. Let me pause. This is not in my notes, but it's so important that you understand this. All affliction does not come from God, friends. Don't blame God for everything. Matter of fact, you don't blame God for anything because there's nothing to blame him for. But the fact of the matter is, we need to understand that every affliction comes by result of sin. There's no doubt about that. But do you understand that God every now and then will send affliction to his children? Especially if you're running from it. Jonah's running from God. And God says, okay, let me see if I'll get your attention, boy. I'm going to send a storm first, see if you listen. Did he? No, he fell asleep. Okay, I'm going to cause the lot to fall on you, and let's just see what happens then. Did he? No, he didn't listen then. Okay, I'm gonna have him throw you into the sea. Let's see if you wake up now, Jonah. Did he? No. God said, okay, fish, come over here. Now, by the way, that just shows you God's in control of all of it. God said, okay, that fish, right, come over here, boy. Talking about the fish now. You say that's too simple. Then I'm just a simple guy. I mean, if the Bible says that God prepared it, then that's exactly what God did, friends. He prepared a fish and said, okay, you see that preacher? I know it's probably going to hurt your stomach, boy, but just swallow him whole. I'm trying to teach you. I'm going to send him to Whale University. I'm going to try to teach him something. He's sitting inside that whale. Can you see him? He said the weeds are wrapped around his head. You imagine how dark it is, how terribly it must smell down in there, and all that kind of stuff. He thinks he's going to drown. Next thing he knows, he wakes up. And he sees bars about him. He said, good night, where am I at? He's in there and he understands, I've been swallowed by a fish. And I'm alive. So what does he do? He understands, you know, I think God must be trying to tell me something. Now just think with me just a minute. So what did Jonah do in chapter 2? You know what he did? Then Jonah prayed. He prayed. On the other hand, let me say this. Whenever you find yourself in affliction, whether it be self-inflicted or not, let us remember this example that whenever trouble hits you, whenever you find yourself in a tight place, whenever you find yourself in trouble, in affliction, I'm telling you, there are some of you who have come in this auditorium today and you are in trouble. You have found yourself in a tight place. It could be a physical thing. It could be a marital thing. It could be a financial thing. I don't know what it is, but I know that this life is full of tight places. And when you find yourself in a tight place, you need to make sure it's not your own sin causing it. That's what Jonah did. But whether it's your sin or not, this principle applies. Understand, then Jonah prayed, and so can you. So can you. Pray. The reason that Jonah prayed was because of his affliction. By the way, that's the only time some people do pray. Don't be guilty of being a child of God that the only time you pray is when you are in a tight place, when you are in affliction. Then Jonah prayed, number one, with reason. Number two, then Jonah prayed with recognition. Now, as we read down through this chapter, we see as Jonah is praying to his God, he is recognizing some things in his prayer. And as we look at these things together, we need to recognize these same things in our prayer life. Whether you're running from God and praying or not, or whether your heart is right with God and you're praying, these same principles apply to our prayer life. Just what Jonah recognized in the belly of the whale is what God's children should be recognizing, whether we're in the belly of the whale, whether we're on the ship, or whether we're in Nineveh obeying God. We still need to obey and recognize these same three things. Number one, under this, he recognized God heard his prayer. We see this in verses 1, 2, and 7. Look at it. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Look at verse number 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple. Now, where is Jonah? Jonah is under the sea inside of a whale. And Jonah's saying, even though I'm under the sea and no man can hear me, nobody can understand what I'm saying, I know that as I'm down here and I'm going down, 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 when I'm praying in here, the first thing I recognize is you are listening, oh God. When's the last time you went to God and really believed that? When's the last time you went to God and said, God, I have no doubts you're listening to me? This is what Jonah's saying. He mentions in verse number 7 how his prayer came unto the Lord and in his holy temple. When nobody else heard Jonah, he prayed and God heard him. This is what prayer is about. Psalm 120 verse 1, in my distress I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. Psalm 130 verse 1, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Sound familiar? O Lord. Lamentations 3, 55 and 56. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon thou hast heard my voice. Psalm 66, 19. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Psalm 116, 1 and 2. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Psalm 65, 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. We're noticing then Jonah prayed with reason. What was the reason? His affliction, his tightness, his trouble. He's praying with recognition. What did he recognize? He recognized God heard him. Number two, he recognized God threw him overboard. Dr. Clarence Sexton preaches this message. He may preach it when he comes. I don't know, so I don't want to steal his thunder. But this is true. Who threw Jonah in the sea? That's a trick question. Who threw Jonah overboard? Somebody says, well, the boatman did. That's not what Jonah recognized. Look at verse number 3. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. You know what Jonah recognized? Jonah recognized that it was not these men who threw him overboard. He recognized this was God. I'm telling you something here. How can this be when chapter 1 plainly told us that the mariners threw him into the sea? Is this a contradiction here? This is not a contradiction, but rather a great realization that should cause all of God's children to be encouraged and live in peace. You listening? Jonah is recognizing the fact that even though it was the mariners' hands that threw him in, it was his God that allowed it to happen to get his attention and bring him to a greater place of obedience. He was recognizing the sovereign, providential hand of God. It's vitally important that you get this. Another Bible example of this would be found in the life of Joseph. Now, the only difference with Joseph is Joseph didn't have sin in his life. Jonah did, Joseph did not, his brothers did. Remember, they got upset with him. They were envious of him. They were jealous of him, his coat of many colors. When his father sent Joseph to them, they took him and they were going to kill him. One of the brothers talked them out of that. So to make a long story short, they sold him to some Midianite merchantmen coming by. He goes down to Egypt and he becomes the second man in charge. Now, while he's there, he's lied about by Potiphar's wife. He's thrown into jail. He's forgotten there. But then at the end of this story, when you come to the latter part of Genesis, Joseph is now second man in charge. His brothers come to him. His brothers do not recognize him. We don't know how many years it's been exactly because I've not studied that out, but we know that his brothers did not recognize who Joseph was. He is in that Egyptian garb and all these other kind of things. He is sitting in front of them and they come to him begging him for mercy. They don't even know it's their brother. You know the story, most of you. Then what happens is he reveals himself to them. It shocks them. Wouldn't it shock you? You tried to get rid of this boy. Now you're at his feet begging for mercy. And yet the father dies, and after that, the brothers think, well, that's why he's been so nice to us. He's just waiting until our daddy died. So they started thinking that he's going to take it out on them now. And yet when you come to Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20, here's what Joseph said. Did Joseph recognize the same thing Jonah did? Who sold me into, I'm talking about, who sold me to the merchantmen? Who sold me to Egypt? Who put me in prison? Who put me on the throne? Who did this? Human flesh and the devil himself will pop up on your shoulder and say, man did it, get even, get bitter, get upset. You don't deserve this. God said he loved you. I thought he did. Are you sure about that? Who caused all of this? Who allowed all of this? Here's what Joseph said. Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. I hope God, the Holy Spirit, will help you grasp what I'm trying to say. that what Jonah is recognizing in his prayer, he is recognizing that even though it was men's hands that threw him in, it was God's hand who was in control of it all. God can take evil and turn it to good, my friends. God can take chastisement and turn it into blessing. Only God can do that. There are people today who have dropped out of church because of something that happened. There are people today that say, I'm not going. God took my husband, took my wife. I don't like him anymore. I've heard people say before. I'm talking about just around America. It happens all the time. I'm bitter at God. Why did God allow this to happen to me? Can I say something to you? There's no answer to why. How many times we've heard that from our preacher? There's no answer to why. We do know this, if you're outside of the will of God, he's using to get you back in the will of God. That's Jonah. But we also learn that even in the lives of people like Joseph, Joseph didn't bring that on himself. His brother's envy did. His brother's jealousy did. All I'm trying to say is whether it's your sin or the sin of others, God can use it for your good. This is what Jonah's recognizing. Jonah's saying, I recognize, God, you threw me overboard. Have you recognized that in your life? By the way, if you don't recognize that, if you don't recognize it, you'll struggle with bitterness all your days. I'm not saying God's the cause of everything. I'm saying he's the answer to everything. I'm saying that if your world is turned upside down because somebody did you wrong, God can take that and turn it into something good. If you're living in sin, God can send something to bring you back to him. Then there's a third thing here. By the way, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them who are the called according to his purpose. And notice that verse does not say that we know that all things are good. It's not what it says. It says we know that all things work together for good. I know what somebody might be thinking. Jody, you telling me that because my life's upside down, that's the will of God for my life? I did not make that statement. I did not make that statement. That's not what I'm saying. I'm simply trying to say this. All trouble, all affliction goes back to sin. Amen. All of it. And I'm saying whether it's your sin or whether it's the sin of somebody else that caused it in your life, your God is bigger than that. And your God can take something terrible and he can turn it into something good. Only God can do that. Only God. And then there's a third thing he recognized. He not only recognized that God hurt him, God threw him overboard, he recognized, and we'll close here today, that God saved his life. We see this in verses 6 and 9. It says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Look at verse number 9, the latter phrase, salvation is of the Lord. Now, notice in these verses how Jonah is careful to praise the Lord for his saving of his life. There is no hint as to Jonah attributing his deliverance to anybody or anything other than his God. He mentions in verse 9 that salvation is of the Lord. And this word salvation carries the idea of deliverance of any kind. In other words, Jonah's recognizing the fact that the Lord would be the only way for him to escape this scenario. Now, in the same way, we all need to praise God for his deliverance in our lives. He is not only the only way of salvation for our souls, but he's also the only way of salvation for our bodies. This is what Jonah is saying. That word salvation, it doesn't just carry the idea of salvation of soul. It carries the idea of salvation of body. For instance, if you are a child of God, it is because God has saved your soul. If you have ever been sick and you have recovered, that salvation was of the Lord. So as you pray, we need to remember and recognize that God not only hears us and God controls things, but God can deliver us and he can help us through it. Now, we're only halfway through here, if that far. But what is God saying to you? Remember again, whenever I preach, I try to encourage you, find out this question: what is God saying to me? What does all this mean? What is God telling you to do? What is God saying to you through this message? Again, I repeat it and I summarize it. It took a whale to swallow Jonah before Jonah ever turned toward God in prayer. What is God saying to you right there? Some of you might be finding yourselves in a whale today. Some of you all might be spiritually sitting in a whale. What's the answer? Don't try to get out. Then Jonah prayed. On top of that, when he prayed when he was in affliction. And whatever affliction you may be going through, it's a time to pray, my friends. But as you pray, recognize that you're praying to the God who hears prayer. And you recognize that whatever's going on in your life, whether it's caused by other people in Joseph's life or whether it's caused by you in Jonah's life, God can take something bad and turn it into something good. And then realize that if you ever get out, it will not be your know-how. It will be God's blessing on your life. This is where we're at so far. Now, there's other things about Jonah's prayer we'll look at tonight. I hope you'll be here to see it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father God, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your mercy. And I pray today, Lord, that you'll help this message to take deep root in our hearts. Help us to see then Jonah prayed. And help us to see that he prayed with reason of affliction and he prayed with recognition that you do hear prayer. You threw him overboard and you saved his life. Help us to pray with the same recognition, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? I mean, have you truly, truly been saved? Or have you been going down through life just wishy-washy, being blown left and blown right? Do you know for sure that if you die today that heaven is your home? Maybe you say, Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I know so. I'm saved. I'm born again. No doubt. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Put your hands right back down. Is there one today? Say, Jody, pray for me. And we're not here to embarrass you. We're not here to make you feel uncomfortable. But you say, Jody, God is speaking to me. And I need to be saved. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. I don't have that assurance, but I want to have it. I don't have it, but I want it. You say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I want to trust Christ and Christ alone. Hey, if you miss the message, that's one thing. But if you miss heaven, it's the lake of fire forever, and you don't want to go there. Somebody say, pray for me. I need to be saved. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? Anybody at all, you say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be saved. I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. But man, I am in a tight place. I am in that affliction. I'm in a tight place. I find myself in that tight place in my life. And you say, Jody, God's speaking to me about just giving it to God. Praying from the tight place. You say, Jody, pray for me. I am in a place of tightness. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, I'm in a place of tightness. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Yes. You can put your hands right back down. What's the message mean for you? You know what it means? It means when you're tempted to give up, there's a God who still hears and answers prayers, even if you're in the bottom of the ocean, inside of a whale, and nobody even thinks you're alive. God still listens to prayer. Maybe you want to come and pray and talk to God about it. Maybe you say, Jody, I know somebody who's in a place of tightness. I'm not in that place, but I know somebody like that. I know somebody who's in a place of adversity and trouble. You know somebody like that. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You know somebody like that. Yes. I hope you'll take this message and share it with them. Share this with them. Show them the danger that Jonah was in. And yet when Jonah finally prayed, he knew that God was listening to him. People need to be encouraged is what I'm trying to say. Maybe the Lord wants to use you to encourage them. Let's all stand together, please. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Help us to take this thought and use it in a great way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you about your own situation or about the situation of somebody else, if God is speaking to you, as Brother Gary sings, you leave your place and come.
Are you weary? Are you heavy?
Come on, talk to God about it.
Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Playing through soft, if you're standing, I'd like you to look this way. We're just about through. This is one of those kind of messages that if you don't need it today, you better not forget it. Because remember, if you run from God, you're going to find yourself in a tight place. But Joseph found himself in that same type of tight place, but it wasn't his fault, it was somebody else's. What I'm trying to say to you is that there's tight places in this life. If you are on cloud nine, great, thank God for it, but someday you're going to find yourself in the bottom of the ocean, friends. Someday it's not going to be cloud nine, it's going to be in the bottom of the ocean. I mean, where you feel all alone and nobody knows and nobody cares. I trust that the Lord will bring this message back to your heart. Don't forget Jonah. Jonah was literally by himself. Him and the whale. And God. And he's soon to find out that even though nobody else knew where he was at, even though that he was in this tight place and maybe he thought nobody cared about him, he was soon to find out that since God cared and God knew and God hears and answers prayer, that's all he needed anyway. Are you getting this message? You get it? Then take it and use it. And we'll proceed with this same thought tonight. And may God help us with this. The Word of God's practical, isn't it? And this is what it is. May the Lord help us with this. Amen. I'm going to ask Miss Lindsay's father, if you wouldn't mind, to just lift your voice and close us in a word of prayer, sir. God bless you.